Soulja Boy tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. I am flying solo again today for this episode of the Tiger's Den. And, got a few things to talk about and discuss. A lot of stuff going on right now with LSU sports. Typically, I will start off with LSU football, but they're really, I don't know. I'll end with them. I'm not going to start with them. I want to start with some good stuff. First of all, thank y'all for joining us tonight and keep on downloading our podcast. We really do appreciate all the downloads that we get and all the ears that we get on the show. We do appreciate each and every one of you. I know I do personally, and all of us at the Dome Patrol really do appreciate every one of our listeners. If you haven't gone on our Twitter account and requested a invite to our Discord server, please do so. We chat during Saints games. It is a lot of fun. We did go to the Dome Patrol, United States Dome Patrol, I guess I should say, went to Nashville this past weekend and saw the Saints fall to the Titans, but we all had a very good time. I watched, got to see a majority of the LSU game Saturday night whilst we were eating dinner at a restaurant. If you want to hear about the dinner at that particular restaurant, go listen to the Big Show on Dome Patrol, and it's hilarious with Wes and his lobster bisque and all the other stuff. It was a good time. So I want to actually start off tonight with talking a little LSU basketball. LSU basketball has absolutely just been on a roll. They are 4-0. The last win was they've had two wins since I guess we last spoke. The first one was against Liberty. They won 74-58. A great performance by the Tigers. Liberty is a pretty good team and a team that will possibly can make the tournament and will be a good team down the line. And for to come out in that first half of that game, we weren't playing that great. We had a lot of stuff that we weren't shooting well. We had a lot of just mental errors and mistakes. But in the second half, oh, did they turn it on? I think I said this last week, but the most impressive thing about this team is the defense. And the reason why I say that is the defense is not typically known under Will Wade to have very good defenses. And just the fact that the defense has really come out, it's like every time I look up, they are getting a turnover. I want to say in this particular game, 16 turnovers Liberty had. It was either this one or the next one against, I think it was ULM. Or was it ULM? Yeah. And I mean, just the amount of turnovers that LSU is generating is just amazing. In this game against Liberty, Darius Days, of course, led the way again with 26 points. He is just shooting lights out right now. Eric Reed had 13, and Xavier, I keep saying Eric Reed, it's not Eric Reed, it's Efton Reed, gosh, and Xavier Pinson had 10. Darius Days, man, if you give him even a sliver of an opening, he's going to pop it, and he is just playing lights out right now, and I think pretty much has been the lead scorer almost in every game this year for LSU. The next game, I'm sorry, it was against McNeese, not ULM. The second game they won 85-46 against Magnese. Magnese obviously isn't a very big school or powerhouse. This was part of an Emerald, I think it's called the Emerald Coast tournament that LSU is in right now. In that tournament, they're guaranteed one home game, which was this game, and then they will play a few other games, I believe, in Florida. So in this particular game, Darius Day is at 14. The bench got a lot of playing time in this particular game. Tari Eason was, I believe, the second leading scorer with, actually, he was the leading scorer with 19 points. So, like I said, a lot of people got playing time in this one. Again, you look at the fact that we only gave up 46 points in this game is just amazing. 16 in the first half and 30 in the second. The defense, LSU has always had great offensive talent. But it's the defense that always kind of worried you. Not this year. This year they are just playing lights out. If you have a chance to go see them play, absolutely do it, because they're just playing amazing. I had their next game and I just closed it. Hold on one second. While I'm waiting for that to pull up, let's talk some. I'll talk some basketball, some women's basketball for LSU. Women's basketball team is 2-1 right now. They're playing well. They did have a loss against a team you've never heard of, Florida Gulf Coast Eagles. They lost 88 to 74. It's still progress. I think we talked about that last time. It's still going to be a progress. It's not going to be, it's not just flipping a switch and then all of a sudden they're great. It's going to take time to develop and to get into Mulkey's system. The next game they won against ULL, 70 to 41. Obviously a good defensive game, only get up 41. It was ULL though, so. But one of the things that I noticed after the ULL game, like immediately after, I guess they were draining the clock or whatever, and Mulkey was still coaching. Like a player came off the court after the game, and she was just on her butt about something she did on the court, and that's just awesome to see that even in a blowout like this, that you're getting on the players and really making sure they're understanding what they did right and what they did wrong. The women's next game is on the 23rd against Tulane. That one is, I believe, that is in Baton Rouge. Then they have one on the 26th of November as well, against New Mexico State. For the men, I do have that now. The men will play Belmont. They play them on the 22nd, which is Monday. At 7 p.m. That game is on the SEC Network Plus, so you can stream it. And then they play, I think it's Penn State. Yes, it is. They play Penn State on the 26th of November. That game is in Baton Rouge again, and it is on the CBS Sports Network at 6 p.m. So the men are 4-0, the women are 2-1. Both teams off to a great start. If you're not a big college basketball fan, even if you're not a big college basketball fan, I guess I should say, and you're just a basketball fan in general, you really need to check out the men's team because they are just really playing phenomenal right now. And hope it continues. So I'm going to talk, I guess, a little bit about LSU football, and then I have kind of an interesting discussion, I guess, that I was having with myself earlier, and kind of comparing the Saints to LSU, the Saints football team to LSU football team. All right. I kind of had that discussion, but before I get to that, or I guess to lead into that, I'll talk about the LSU game this past weekend against Arkansas. LSU fell in overtime 16-13 to Arkansas. like I said, I got to see a little bit of the game or most of the game while we were eating dinner. It wasn't obviously the greatest. We had an early lead at half, 10-0, or I'm sorry, 10-3 at half. And then they came back and scored 10 in the third quarter. Arkansas did, and then we scored 3 in the fourth, and then lost in overtime. The overtime, well, I guess the big kind of story about this game was the fact that Max Johnson only played really like two series, and then they brought Nussmeier in. It was good to get him some playing time, and to see kind of what he could do. He's a freshman. He made some mistakes, which he's going to do. He's young. He was 18 of 31, 179, one touchdown and two picks. The second pick, obviously, was a big one in overtime. Really didn't even like the play call on that play. Why you throwing a fade out from like the 10 or 15 yard line is beyond me. And it just wasn't a good throw. It wasn't a good throw. It was short, and it just wasn't a good play call at all. Coach O came out and said, I think today, that Nussmeier, they're not going to burn his red shirt. They're going to let him keep his red shirt, so he will not play the rest of the season. So it was the Max Johnson show, I guess, the rest of the way for ULM and against A&M. You really hoped that LSU would win this game to make it easier to get a bowl, because you're going to have to beat ULM, which you will, but also going to have to beat Texas A&M. Because right now you're 4-6, you have to win six games to get into a bowl. And the way it's looking more and more, that might not happen. In the Arkansas game, going back to that for a second, Davis Price, 106 yards on 28 carries. And let's see, Besh had a great game, had a great touchdown catch in that game. He had 66 yards, one touchdown, great back of the end zone, great pass by Nussmeier, and great catch by him. I spoke last week that I was kind of hoping that LSU would be able to win two games and make a bowl. I thought it would help them to have an extra month of practice. At this point, I don't see the point. Yeah, you're going to have an extra month of practice, but to do what? It's just going to increase. Obviously, you bring money to the school, but you can increase the chance of somebody getting hurt. In really a year that's just been god awful. The Coach O, he's made just too many of the wrong choices. The hiring of Pete's was just not the way to go. I think we all hoped and were hoping that he'd be able to run the offense that we had a few years ago, and it's just not the case. Jake Pete's might end up coaching somewhere else after this. I'm sure he will, but he's just not ready to be an offensive coordinator. I'm sure he'll get a coaching job somewhere, but he is just not, he's not made to be an offensive coordinator. He, at least not yet. He's not ready. He, just calls bad plays. He really has no concept, and Durante Jones, once they have taken the reins off of him and let him loose, has really called great defensive games and has, I think I said this last week, keep saying that, has a opportunity to interview for his job, with the new head coach. The problem was at the beginning of the year was that they just were just constraining him too much. It's funny that Coach O made a comment that he talked to Lane Kiffin after the Ole Miss game, and Lane told him, "Look, Coach, you're basically running the same defense every play." And Coach was like, "Oh yeah, I know." It's like, And then after that game is when everything kind of changed and they scrapped what they were doing and let Durante just run his thing. It's just funny, like you're saying you know you're running the same defense and that's why teams are picking you apart. He's like, yeah, I know we're running the same defense. It just it's absolutely mind-boggling to me that did you just say mind-boggling? That Coach O. It was a coach at all. I've been a big Coach O fan. I think I may have been blinded to exactly how bad of a coach he really is. He's not a bad coach. I mean, he's a good defensive line coach. He's a good recruiter. He's a great recruiter. But and look, he can pump you up, make you run through a brick wall. But he's not an X's and O's guy. He wanted to be like a CEO and hire coordinators that, you know, could do run their scheme and win. And it worked for 1 year, which he really lucked into. Honestly, he really lucked into it. He lucked into Burrow. He lucked into Brady. And he's been trying to recreate that. He just hasn't been able to. And it just shows the lack of just, I guess, I don't know what the word is, lack of knowledge, lack of just being able to adapt to the college game and the way that it runs. You have to always kind of be a step ahead. And that kind of leads me into my next conversation with LSU kind of as a comparison to the Saints. So a lot of people, this is the Don't Patrol United Network, right? It was started as a Saints podcast. We have branched off a bit with LSU and the taking knee over and different things like that. Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, all that stuff. We've branched off a bit. And so I say that because there's a lot of Saints fans that listen to this podcast, right? A lot of LSU fans are also Saints fans. I am one of them. You're a Tiger on Saturday and a Saint on Sunday. And that's the way I've always been raised in Louisiana. And that's where I've always been. So, for a treat for some of you Saints fans, I kind of thought about this today of just like a comparison to the season that LSU is having as opposed to how the Saints are having, right? So the Saints are, I believe, 5-4 right now. And LSU is 4-6. So I guess let's kind of look at the comparison. Both teams obviously have tremendous amounts of talent, right? You're not going to be on a NFL team if you don't have great talent. And honestly, you're not going to be playing at LSU if you don't have great talent, right? So what went wrong this year for what hasn't completely gone wrong this year for the Saints yet, because it's still a lot to be played, but for LSU, I mean, the big issue between for both teams has been injuries. It's kind of weird when you sit and start comparing the injuries. So, Saints, number one wide receiver Michael Thomas out for the year with an ankle injury. Ankle injury. LSU, their number one receiver Boutte out for the year. Now Boutte got some games in and is actually still the touchdown leader in touchdown receptions in the NCAA at 9. No one's caught him yet, and he hasn't played in I can't tell you how long. So that's one. Both wide receivers, number one wide receivers are both out, right? Both quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks are out. Jameis Winston is out, got to play a few games. Miles Brennan out, never got even a chance to start. It's interesting. O-line. LSU has a lot of O-linemen out. The Saints have had O-line out too. Ramczyk is not playing this week versus the Eagles. Armstead's not playing this week versus the Eagles. So they've had a lot of offensive line injuries as well. Both of them have lost a lot of close games and may have won those games if we had our injured players back. The Saints, you know, this past weekend lost to Tennessee because their kicker is out for the year. and they can't make an extra point, the kicker we had. And I really think that, and I said this on the big show, on the Dome Patrol, is that when you have so many injuries and so many players that are out, the margin of error shrinks, right? So when you have great talent, when you have an Alvin Kamara or a Michael Thomas or a Kayshawn Boutte on the field or a Derek Stingley on the field, you can maybe make a mistake here or there, and those players will make big plays to bring you back and put you back into the game. When those players are out, you can't make the big mistakes, right? You can't make the big errors. You can't have, like, the Saints have Deonte Harris run a kickoff back out of the end zone and fumble it. You can't have that. You can't have drop passes. You can't have the quarterback Nussmeier throwing two interceptions. You can't. The error, the margin of error is much smaller, right? You have to almost play a perfect game to win. And your games, all your games are going to be close. They're all going to be close. And you have to play almost perfectly to win those close games. You can't miss extra points, right? You can't drop balls. You can't throw picks. You can't have stupid penalties. And that's across the board. But I think that the big difference between the two is coaching. Saints obviously have Sean Payton, right? One of the best offensive minds, best coaches in the league. The fact that the team is 5-4, and many still consider a possible playoff team, is because of Sean Payton. Because players keep getting injured, and he keeps on coming up with new ways to possibly win. On the other hand, you've got Coach O, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. You've got an offensive coordinator at LSU who doesn't know what he's doing and can't call the right plays. Their defense is trying to help them, but their offense is slacking, just like the Saints. Their defense is phenomenal. Offense, wide receiver talent isn't there right now because we don't have a true number one. We got people jumping off sides like Trouton did last week. You just don't have the talent there. And same with LSU. Both have lost close games. I said that already. With LSU, they did have some games, you know, that kind of surprised you. The win versus Florida, the Alabama loss. But going into those games, you really didn't feel like you had a chance to win. With the Saints, you always feel like you have a chance to win. When you have Sean Payton on the sideline calling plays, you always feel like you have a chance to win. LSU, you don't. There's a lot of talent, like I said, on both teams. And for LSU, you've got to bring in the right coach. You've got to bring in the right coach that can take that talent and make the best out of it. You had a lot of talent when Les Miles was there, and he messed it up. O had a lot of talent in 2019, and because he had the right coordinators, he was able to turn it into a national championship. It just proves that coaching matters. If you have the right coaches in place, the amount of talent that LSU has and the amount of talent that the Saints have, you will win. Are the Saints going to win a Super Bowl this year? Probably not. If I was a betting man, I'd say no. They don't have a chance. Do they have a chance to make the playoffs? Yes, they do. Because they have a great coach. A coach that's been here for a long time and will probably stay here for a long time. The next coach for LSU, this is the biggest hire in LSU football. In LSU football history, I should say. The biggest. LSU is still a top five job. You make the wrong move here, and it's not going to be a top five job anymore. And right now, the way things are in college football, coaches are going to be expected to win right away. Why is that? Well, a big reason why is you have the transfer portal now. Transfer portal basically acts like free agency for NFL. You got players that enter it, and it's your job to go in and try to get them to come to your school. Obviously, money's not going to change hands in this instance, so you don't have to worry about that. You just got to convince them that coming to LSU is what's best for them. LSU has to be very, very vigilant in bringing in players from this transfer portal, especially on the offensive line, because the offensive line is what really needs help right now. Well, we can get the wide receivers, we can get the running backs. The offensive line really needs help. So, who's going to be the next LSU head coach, right? That kind of leads you to that. Well, obviously, we don't know yet. There's been a lot of smoke lately. Smoke and mirrors, maybe. I have literally this week probably heard a different coach's name mentioned every day this week. It's gone from Jimbo to Lincoln Riley. Today was Bill O'Brien's day. Mark Stoops from Kentucky, he's had some time in the limelight of being possibly the guy. Dave Aranda's name keeps coming up. 2 weeks, folks. We're looking at 2 weeks. That's about when we'll find out who the next coach is. 2 weeks from now, when I do this show, after Thanksgiving, we will probably know who LSU's coach is. And whatever rumors you heard, whatever his friends knows, their uncle knows Woody and all this crap, don't believe anything until that coach is sitting there at the press conference and giving his opening speech. Because you just never know. Out of those coaches, the only two I like out of those are Lincoln Riley and Aranda. Stoops and Bill O'Brien, nope, I'm good. Don't want nothing to do with either one of them. I like Lincoln Riley a lot. The knock I've heard on Lincoln Riley the other day was, I mean, he's a young guy, but apparently his dream coaching job is to coach the Cowboys. Now, obviously, that position is not open right now, but it could be in the future, and you could have another exit like Saban when he left to go to the Dolphins. So you don't, you know, does that a knock against him? Do you make it so just glamorous and lucrative that maybe that job fades away and he decides to maybe do it later in his career? I don't know. Aranda, I like what he's done at Baylor. I heard Aranda doesn't like to recruit a lot. He likes to, he likes the X's and O's part of it. I mean, I guess technically you can get people to recruit for you. We have a great recruiting department that does an excellent job. I mean, Coach O obviously helps with that, but Aranda's not the big recruiter guy. But look, I mean, he's done well at Baylor. And, you know, if you can win there, then it absolutely tells me you can win at LSU. I really wonder if Aranda would even be an option if he had never coached here. And I don't think he would. I think that he's too new at Baylor. I think people like that option because he's a familiar face kind of guy. You know, he had been here and possibly was the heir apparent. I think he was definitely going to be the heir apparent to O. And when that won that national championship and it looked like O wasn't going anywhere, he left. If Aranda had stayed, he might be the next head coach. But I really think that if he hadn't coached here, I wonder if his name would even come up. I like Lincoln Riley. I really think that from what I'm understanding, Jimbo is not coming. A&M has the money to kind of match what they want. You know, if LSU made an offer, I don't think he wants to leave A&M. Lincoln Riley, if he got offered the money, OU has the money, but they wouldn't match, is what I've heard. So he would come here. And look, Mel Tucker, the coach at Michigan State, was also a candidate. He's working on a 10-year, I think it's a 10-year extension, $95 million, something like that, $94 million. You know, the next LSU coach is probably going to be an 8-year contract, probably 96, 97, 98, 99, 100 million guy. It's going to be a big contract. And, you know, we'll know in 2 weeks. We will absolutely 100% know in 2 weeks what's going to happen here. This week, LSU football goes against ULM. We should win that game handily. And then we go against Texas A&M which I believe is Thanksgiving Day or the day after Thanksgiving. Let's take a gander. So we play ULM. Very strange to start at 8 o'clock, but the game starts at 8 o'clock versus ULM on Saturday. And then the 27th, which is actually the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we will play Texas A&M, 6 o'clock ESPN. That'll be the final game. Look, I'm never going to root against LSU, but I don't know. I don't know if I see them beating A&M, and maybe it's a good thing that they don't, so that this season will just end on a, on a graceful note, I guess. I know it'll be a loss, but it's to be a graceful note. And after that, I'd say by, that's on the 27th. I'd say by December 1st or 2nd, we should have a new coach. December 2nd is my birthday. Maybe that'll be the day, hopefully. Fingers crossed. That'll be the day that we get the new coach. I'll get a nice birthday present. But anyway, look, I probably won't do a show. I might do a show next week. We'll see how it goes. I might do a show next week. If I don't do a show, I want to wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving. Tell all your friends about the Tiger's Den and the Dome Patrol United Network. Let me go ahead and do my closing here. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show. The Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCAST, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook. If you want to participate, like I said, in the live game day chat, DM us on Twitter and we'll get an invitation to you for the Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can always go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Make Mike the Tiger stay.